pressure, huh? All right. Well, we do appreciate the opportunity. It's been a couple of years since we've been here. A lot of new faces. So we appreciate the opportunity. We have been on the road an awful lot, and it seems like we stay on the road an awful lot. But we appreciate what the Lord's doing here. This is going to take some teaching, so you're going to have to follow me on this one. So turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And while you're turning there, 1 Samuel chapter 1, very familiar story here, but we do have a little display up here. I didn't bring a whole lot of our material, some of our new material. There's some prayer cards up here that you can look at and take with you and pray for us. We're on the road, like I said, an awful lot, and in the prison ministry. And so appreciate the opportunity. When Pastor asked about the missions conference, we've done this a couple different times. Let me just kind of give an introduction here, and I'll try to keep it moving here, but I've had several pastors say in the past that you can't find faith promise giving in the Bible. And though the word itself may not be in the Bible, faith promise giving, the principles of giving are found all through the Word of God. In fact, Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians 8, grace giving. And so God has always, always established giving as a means to fund His projects, His purposes. And we'll look at that in a minute here. But some of them say, well, you know, we take it off the top of the general thing. But the thing with that is it's not biblical. God has always had a means to finance the church all the way back through the Old Testament as well, through tithes and offerings. And that's how we fund, and that's how we pay the pastor, and that's how we keep the lights and all of that on. To take it off of the general, to take faith promise or take any other giving off of general, number one, it's not biblical. Number two, there's no faith involved in that. And according to, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul expected the church, as bringing up a truth there, that our faith is to increase as we continue on. And so just a number of things, but really all the way back through the Old Testament, anytime, and here's going to be my kind of like my theme I need you to follow, God always has a purpose of whatever He's going to do. And He always has a plan to accomplish that purpose. In the tabernacle there, when God wanted to establish the tabernacle there, a meeting place in the Old Testament, the Israelites were just coming out of captivity of 430 years, but God moved upon the hearts of the Egyptians to give so that God could, so that the people could give toward the tabernacle there as they began to build that. And so God had a purpose here in the tabernacle, and He also had a plan to carry that out. Same thing with, and I can't get into a lot of the background here, but the same thing when David was preparing to build. Of course, Solomon was the one preparing there in the Old Testament as far as the tabernacle itself or the temple itself. David comes up with this truth, and this is what I want to bring out through 1 Samuel here. David is saying, and this is 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You don't have to turn there, but let me just give it to you quickly here. David is saying, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. He's talking to the Lord here, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So David is saying here, God, how marvelous it is, and what an honor it is for us to be able to do this. But God, in reality, it all came from you to begin with. And folks, that's the same thing with us in the New Testament. All that we have comes of God. We're just stewards of everything that we have. We're stewards of our time. We're stewards of our talents. We're stewards of really all that God has given to us. I had a guy come up to me one time I was in prison, and he said, "What kind of car are you driving, Brother Napper?" And I said, "A Park Avenue at that time." And he says, "Well," and he gives a description, "in about 10 seconds I can steal your car." Tells me how to do it and all this stuff, and tell me a Volvo or tell me whatever it was. He was a car thief, and he could steal any car and every car there was in a matter of seconds. And I said, "That's all right. You can go ahead and have it. It doesn't belong to me anyway. It belongs to the Lord, and the Lord will be able to take care of you." And my point is, all that we have belongs of God. We're just stewards of it. And so the whole point when it comes to tithes and offerings for the church, when it comes to missions givings, when it comes to other things that God wants to finance, really, it's just a matter of how much can we trust God and how much do we love God to give back to Him what He's already given to us. Because we are, when we're believers, as we're believers, we are going to give an account of all that we have been given of the Lord, including our salvation, and what have we done with our salvation. So with that in mind, a lot of the principles found here, and again, it is some teaching here. I'm going to try to slow down and bring this thought to you here. My title is simply, and then we're going to pray because I'm going to read and jump right into this, but my title here this morning is going to be the main proposition as well, if I can use it that way, my main thought here, because I thought much on the title so that we could get this across, but here's the title, God's Purpose Fulfilled Through Hannah's Life. God's Purpose Fulfilled Through Hannah's Life. Now, church, I don't know about you, but I'd like to have my name here as well, God's Purpose Fulfilled Through Roger Napper's Life. Because God has a purpose, God has a plan, and He wants to use you and I to fulfill that purpose and that plan. And my question to us this morning is, how obedient are we going to be? How involved are we going to be? The Lord Jesus Christ told us in Matthew chapter 18, I believe it was, that I will build my church. Now the work is going to be done. The question or the purpose here, the plan is going to be fulfilled, but the question is going to be, is God going to be able to use you to get that done? And I don't know about you, but I want to be used in that plan. I want to be part of God's purpose fulfilling that great commission and getting that job done, seeing souls saved and being a part of building that church. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then I'll read some of the scriptures here, and we'll get right into it. Our Father, once again, we want to bow before You and just grateful for Your goodness. And God, as I was sitting there right now, just thinking about and meditating upon the service now, I was thankful for Cornerstone Baptist Church that still has a vision, still has a desire to fulfill the Great Commission, to be soul winners, to try to have an impact, be an impact here in this community. And then through their missionaries around the world, wherever they're laboring, Lord, that this church has a desire to be a part of that. And I believe it's because they believe in the Great Commission. They believe in the Word of God. They believe souls need to be saved. I know it's a song today, but people truly do need the Lord. Everywhere we go, as Myrna and I travel, we just came in from New Hampshire, as we travel down south, wherever we go, wherever we are, I see people in need of the Lord. And so, Father, we are grateful for Cornerstone Baptist Church that still has a desire to be used, to have, to be in this plan and be in this purpose that You have for us. And so, Father, I pray that You take away distractions. I know there's a lot running through my mind. Just help me to focus on the outline, help me to focus on the Word of God. And, Father, I pray that You would impact our lives because of the Word of God. I pray as I yield myself to the Holy Spirit that You'd use me to Your glory and honor. And I want to thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here before I read this, God had a purpose here in this portion of Scripture and in this time, and that was because of the nation was in need here of leadership. The nation at this time, and I'll touch on this briefly in the outline here, but there was a need here for Samuel, though Samuel wasn't even born at this time. So God has a purpose or has a plan out here of a need of someone to bring this nation back. And so we see that being fulfilled and that coming about through Samuel here. And so same thing today. God sees a need. God has a purpose in whatever nations, communities, families, whatever it is. But God always has an answer for that. There's always a place in God, in God's heart, to fulfill those needs. In prisons today, there's many, probably 80, 85, maybe 90% have never heard the gospel, are not saved. And so God raises up individuals to go there because God has somebody. Somebody's praying for a mother, a father, a child, a daughter, a son, whatever it is. But somebody's praying for those individuals. And we are, you are, through us, we are your missionaries being sent. So God has an answer for that prayer, and it's you and I. And so I don't know about you, but that thrills my heart that I'm an answer to somebody's prayer. I could look at my wife right now and say, see, I'm an answer to your prayer right now. But she would say, I haven't been praying for that, but anyway. Just trying to get you in this. Just make sure you're here. All right. So let's look at this and let's bring out some lessons here. And we'll try to get to it here. I'm going to pick it up just for the sake of time in verse 4. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4. This is where Hannah and Elkanah here is without child here. But and then I'm going to read over to verse 18 and we'll jump right into it. So verse 4, 1 Samuel 1, 4. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But notice this, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, that's Peninnah here, also provoked her, Hannah, sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did, Elkanah here, did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she, Hannah, again, this enemy here, provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thine heart grieved? He knew the answer, because he says here, am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. This is the Passover, the sacrifice supper here that they were partaking of. And Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, speaking of Hannah now, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, here's my verse, here's where we're going to get our thought. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will, that should be underlined if you're marking your Bible, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, notice she's specific, man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. So she's saying, God, if you will, I will. And that's important there. God, if you will, I will. I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. I'll mention that in the outline as well. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So she believed, her prayer was answered here, as she went forth, as Hannah went forth. So, again, God's purpose fulfilled through Hannah's life. Let me read that again in verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and forget not and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. First of all, before we get into Hannah herself, I want to just mention the condition of the nation, because this is important here, because this is the whole purpose of Samuel being given through Hannah, because there was a need there that the Lord knew. So the condition of the Lord, you can go back really to Judges chapter 21, verse 25, very familiar here. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And so the condition of the nation of this time was pretty darkness. Same really of America, pretty dark time right now in America. But God also has a plan and a purpose for America, I believe, as well. If the church would just so desire, like Hannah desired here, to raise up an answer here. But anyway, the condition of the nation. I just have 2 points I want to mention quickly here. Really, it was a people in idolatry. They were away from God. People that had forsaken. That's really why I think Eli had mistook Hannah's prayer. I don't think Eli, of course, we know the Hophni and Phinehas, his two sons here, were also there, but could not do anything about it. The Lord tells us that the two sons of Eli, I'm in verse 3, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there, but they couldn't do anything about it, about the needs of Hannah. I believe that Eli mistook Hannah's prayer and her condition, because it was a rare thing and probably hadn't seen somebody desiring things of the Lord in a long, long time, because the people were so far away from God. I believe that Eli probably stepped right into her prayer, it sounds like, when we read verse 14, that Eli said unto her, how long will thou be drunken? I believe he marched right in on her prayer time. I believe he marched right in because he was so insensitive at this time, so unaware of a need here of Hannah. But anyway, I'm just trying to point out here that there was a need at this time, a people found in idolatry. Also, a priesthood, what I call, immersed in wickedness. Again, Eli misunderstood the needs of Hannah here, but also Hophni and Phinehas, concerned with only their wicked selves and not concerned about anything at all. And you can read about that later. I'm just trying to show that here there's a nation that is in need of a Samuel. There's a nation in need. And so God is going to arrange this so that this need could be met. That's exactly what faith promise or grace giving is, or your missions conference is all about. There's nations and countries and lands that are in need, and the only way that that need is going to be met is through the church. There is no plan B, church. God doesn't have any other means, but you and I are the answer for this dark world. You and I are the ones that will finance missionaries. You and I are the ones that will send out missionaries. As God calls them, he's the one that sends them out, but we need to send them out furnished. So there's those that are sent, but there's also those that stay behind to help, pray for them, and hold the rope that we hear often mentioned there. So here we have a nation that is in need, and God is about to raise up that need, provide for that need, through somebody that is concerned, and that's Hannah here. So we see the condition of the nation here. And now we want to look at the condition of Hannah. First of all, and then we're going to get right into the real thoughts of this. First of all, the condition of Hannah. Notice, first of all, that Hannah's desire. And I can't help but think, even when I thinking about my own notes here as the Lord was leading, actually it went in another direction than what I was thinking at the time, but that's all right. It's the Lord's outline, and that's his word there. So it kind of took on a different direction, if you put it that way. But I was thinking of Hannah's desire here, and how much she loved the Lord, and how much she desired this male child, this man child, to be given to the Lord here. And so we see Hannah's desire. I have down here that Hannah has a true heart for the Lord. And really, church, this is where the whole thing begins. How much do we love the Lord? How much are we willing to trust the Lord? How obedient are we to the Lord? Because the whole thing is really centered about the whole grace giving, or the whole involvement in missions, the whole involvement of coming to church, period, and sitting under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. All of that is really a desire of the heart. How much do we love the Lord? And we see that here in Hannah through her prayers, that she was a woman of a sorrowful spirit. She was broken, and she went to the Lord. And so we see her desires here. Hannah possessed an unquenchable desire for the blessings of God. Her desire was unchanged by her adversary, Peninnah, here, that we see here. And it seems like, to me, that it was more of a provoking on as Hannah was going to do the sacrifice. It was probably around the home as well, but it seems like to me that it was more provoking as they were on their way to give sacrifices to the Lord. And again, I could take a little rabbit as long as we kill it here or get it here, the pastor was saying here, but how many times do we have the adversary come toward us or come to us with his distractions when we're trying to do things for God? He always shows up on our way to church or on our way to doing things or surrendering or wanting to give more to Faith Promise than we did, grace giving than we did last year. Whatever it is, it seems like at that time we have more adversaries, more distractions coming our way than when we're home reading a newspaper or minding our own business. I don't know about you. Berna can read a newspaper. I don't read much about it, but not much in there for me. But you can sit there and read a whole newspaper, but I'm not saying she did, but read the whole newspaper and you pick up your Bible and 10 minutes you're asleep. Why is that? Well, because there's spiritual battles going on. And so Hannah's condition here, her desire was amiable. I mean, it was something that we ought to take note of. Her adversary kept telling her, in my own words here, that God has no blessings for you. It tells us that Hannah prayed earnestly here, but I could imagine Peninnah here saying that God has no blessings for you, and God will never answer your prayers, and you're barren and will always remain barren. And so it seems like this adversary here was most of the fierce attacks coming to her when they were on their way to the house of God. And so that I'm just bringing that up here as a means here, but you don't see Hannah quitting is my point. She continued on through it all, through the adversity, even her own husband asking these questions and stuff, and he really couldn't do anything about it because it's the Lord that shut up her womb. And we'll get to that because there's a timing factor. God had a Samuel in mind, and so God had a time involved as well, as he always does. So Hannah's desire here, we see. And then here's where I want to kind of spend some time. That was just really an introduction here. But I really want to bring this out here of Hannah's devotion. I'm going to bring this whole thing out and bring it into our grace giving here, bring some similarities, if you want to put it that way here, through Hannah's devotion here. Number one, her condition here. Notice Hannah's painful condition. The Bible tells us that Hannah was barren. So I have Hannah's barrenness, Hannah's burden, and I have Hannah's blessings here. And so we see Hannah's burdens here. I don't have any subs under these because I knew we're going to run into a time issue here, a time factor here. But Hannah's painful condition. We see that, and I'd like to kind of go in. I don't know if I'll do that tonight or not, but you see the same thing really if I had the opportunity to go from 2 Corinthians and to here as well, because Paul is bringing up in 2 Corinthians, the churches of Macedonia, how that they were also in great trials of affliction. They were in great poverty as well. My point being, here we have Hannah's barrenness and her burden here, but yet it didn't stop her. She went on through it. My point being, church, we can all make excuses of things not to do. There's always going to be excuse how we can't make it to church this morning, or I can't make it to all the meetings, or I can't do this financially, or it's a bad time right now. There's always going to be unfavorable circumstances in life. Life is just that way. But folks, to be honest with you, we've got to look beyond those things and trust God and realize God is above those things. And despite of the circumstances, despite of life coming at us, let's just obey God and trust God. Boy, there's a lot of excuses that I could come up with without packing up and going on the road another 10 days or another 2 weeks, when, especially in the last probably from June, almost from June or July, that I've been home only about 2 or 3 days at max before I pack out and go again. We have car problems. We have all the things as everybody else does. But I don't look for excuses. Now, sometimes I might drag a little because I don't want to leave home. But once I get on the car, once I get to prison, things are going. Amen. I'm back in my back in where God has called me to. But I'm just saying, there's always excuses that we can come up with. But if we really love God and we prioritize our life, really those issues, those circumstances, this adversary and all of these, this barrenness shouldn't stop us. Same with in the New Testament, the poverties and all those things really should not stop us. Corinth, the one that was being admonished here, was a very wealthy, a very gifted church, a very carnal one, but a very gifted church compared to those of Macedonia. But what happened there? Because their heart was fixed on God, they went beyond what they were able to do, beyond their ability. Why? Because they trusted God. And folks, that's what we're asking you today. How much do you trust God? God is able to provide for us. So we see here Hannah's devotion here, Hannah's painful condition. Hannah's barrenness is mentioned, but it didn't stop her. Her burden was there and real. But also Hannah's blessings. And I just put a couple thoughts here. I put, she had a good husband. One that cared for her, one that loved her. And she had a good God. And that's who she went to. That's who Hannah went to. So starting off here, under Hannah's devotion here, that we see Hannah's painful condition. But then I see also, number two, the Hannah's prayer for a child. And that's the verse that we read here. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give, I'll look at that in a second, will give unto thine handmaid a man child. So notice Hannah's prayer for a child is specific. Notice, first of all, that Hannah's prayer was sincere. The Bible tells us about this, her sorrowful spirit here that she had, but this was a prayer from her heart. Hannah's prayer life was sincere. Hannah's prayer was specific, a man child. But also Hannah's prayer was supernatural. God had to do this. Hannah was not able to do this. And can I tell you, if you and I would have this same thought process or the same prayer when we go into our grace giving or really in our prayer life, but when it comes to faith promise or this grace giving here, we need to be sincere, specific, and trust that God is with us, is able to do it, and only God can do it. Amen? I'll be honest with you that Myrna and I, we've been introduced to grace giving. We've been a part of our missions program and all the churches, two churches that we've been in. Of course, we live on people's faith and we live on people's giving. Even as we travel, you just took up a love offering for us, and that's just how we live from month to month. We get paid once a month through the home office there, but as we travel, God meets our needs, and as we continue on, God meets our needs, and so we have experienced your blessings upon our life. That's how we've lived for the last 20-some years, going on 21 years. So that would be very foolish on our part not to be involved in helping others do the same thing that we live. Can I tell you that's not only takes sincerity and being specific on what we give, but can I tell you we realize that it's God that does it. It's God that does it. It's God that provides. We were just looking at some things and Myrna pulled up on our GPS, just that one GPS, and I forgot what it was. It was 600. Do you remember what it was? 1,000 miles on that one specific thing, but for 20 years, I probably have records someplace, but can I tell you, It's been a lot of miles. It's been a lot of days. It's been a lot of time on the road here. Can I tell you, God has been good, no accidents. We travel almost every time we're on the road at any distance, and there's accidents, some of them just really, really bad accidents. Thank God, we've never been in an accident. I remember having one flat tire, and it was really low, but I was right in front of the church. That happened, and I was on the way to prison. We were just staying at the church, and so Dave Crispell and I were in a certain tire on our way to prison, and a truck driver drove by and said, pulled over, and he said, "What are you guys doing?" I said, "I got a flat. We got to go to prison." He said, "I can't have two guys in a suit change that tire and put that tire on." So he said, "I'm all dirty and grubby anyway. Just get out of the way." And he did everything. And honestly, we weren't even 5 minutes later than when it was. I'm just saying, all of that is God. God does that. God provides for you and I. God cares for you and I. God protects and provides and all of that. So Hannah realized that her prayer, yes, it was sincere. Her prayer was specific, but Hannah's prayer was also supernatural. She knew that it had to be God to open up her womb. It was the Lord that had closed her womb. She understood that. And so, folks, we've got to understand that all that we have, like I said, the stewardship, but God, it's God that enables us to do what we do. It's all of God. He's just wondering if we can count on Him. Do we trust Him? You've already saw the song, and I was reading a lot of the quotes here. I wish I would have wrote them down, a lot of the quotes there. But is anything too impossible with the Lord? We always say that, but we live differently than what we say about is anything impossible for the Lord. No, there's not. Then you don't think that God can take care of you? You don't think God can take care of your household and take care of the church as well as the missionary? I believe He can, but He's just looking for somebody to trust Him to do it. Myrna and I can give you testimony how God has provided in marvelous ways. I'm just saying here, we need to pattern ourselves after Hannah here. So Hannah's painful condition and Hannah's prayer for a child here. God has been faithful to you and I as well when it comes to His work. He always has a means to provide. He did all the way back in the Old Testament, all the way through and into the New Testament as well. So we see here, Hannah's painful condition, Hannah's prayer for a child. Number three, I see Hannah's promise of commitment. And that's why I had it spelled out there in verse 11. Hannah's prayer was, "God, if you will, I will." Hannah's promise of commitment. Hannah was saying, "God, if you'll give to me, I will commit him to you." And can I tell you, I'm not trying to be ugly or anything. I don't mean to be, but I thought about that and just been on the road as much as I have been and preaching as long as I have and being in all parts of the country and all of what we've seen here. But can I tell you, not many people today will commit to the Lord. Here's what I see today. It is God, if you will do for me, thank you. That's about as far as it goes. God, I need this, and when God is good enough and gracious enough and give to us, well, thank you, Lord. That's about as far as it goes, and I'll give you a thought on that in a second here. We want God to commit to us, but that's as far as it goes. God, give to me, but leave me alone after I receive what I want. But Hannah was promising God that if he'll commit to her, she would commit to him. Let me make this statement, I'll explain it here. God's grace always makes the first move and always the last move as well. I'll explain that a little further, but here we see, under one of my points, but here we see God's grace. Here we see how grace always moves first toward us. He did that in salvation as well. It wasn't you and I looking for the Lord. It was the Lord come looking and knocking on our door. If you and I ever had a thought as a natural man, as a lost man, of what would heaven be like or what would hell, I wonder if there's a hell, even those thoughts are of the Lord. When Myrna and I, of course, our background and everything, moved across the street from that Christian family, that was the Lord putting us across the street from that Christian family. I asked her just a few weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it's been, I said, "How long did Dennis live across the street from us, and I think they were there about a year and a half or what long. She didn't know what I was thinking at that time. But here was a man in the Navy. We're from San Diego, so we moved to Pennsylvania, never been here before in our lives. We moved from San Diego, moved across the street from a Christian family that invited us to church, and 4 months later we were saved and in the ministry and all of what you see now. But Dennis was only there for a year and a half. It was as if God put him there just for us. Now, I ran into him. Now, they moved after that, so we lost track of him a long time, and now I'm in the ministry, now I'm preaching. I knew he had a heart condition, and he was in the Navy, so he went down to the Norfolk area, the hospital there, and I was to be preaching at a church for a Sunday. It was an Easter Sunday that night, and there was another church, a People's Baptist Church, that was without a pastor. And they happened to be talking to the other church, and they said that they had a missionary coming in for that Sunday, and they asked if they would have my phone number and call me, and maybe he would do our Easter Sunday for us because we're without a pastor. So that church gave it was Great Hope, gave them not this Great Hope back down there, but gave them my phone number. And so when I come walking in the church, guess whose church it was? It was Dennis' church, the guy that had led us, not led us to the Lord, but invited us to church and all that. And here we are. Boy, you talk about rejoicing after some 10 years. Now we're in the ministry. And I'm just saying, that's all of God. God's grace always makes the first move. But let me show you this, and I'll give it to you later. But he also makes the last move. God is never, ever going to be in debt to anybody. So as God moves and we move, it's as if, and I'm trying to hurry, Pastor, but you got to allow my little imagination. Here's the Godhead up in heaven. Here's Hannah's prayer to this Godhead up in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and this conversation's going on. Well, the nation is in great need here, and this is how my whole outline started. The nation is in great need here. We've shut up the womb of Hannah here, but I think it's time for us to open her womb, because now it's time for this nation to have a Samuel. So let's go ahead and let's open her womb. Let's answer her prayer. And she's going to commit this gift, I'll use it that way, back to us. And so God's grace answers the prayer. And so Hannah does that. So now we see Samuel. We'll see it a little later. And she gives him back to the Lord. And it's as if this conversation is going on. Well, you know, we opened her womb, and she has a Hannah, and she's committed to us, and, well, it just seems like it's our move next. Amen? Now, that's my weak story of it, but that's how this outline came to mind. I'm watching the Lord go through this, and we'll see it later. But it's as if, well, Hannah kept her promise, and we can't go back on ours, and she's committed to us, so let's commit to her. That's how God works towards us and acts toward us. Well, they've done their part, and let's go ahead and answer their prayer. Well, they've committed and they've given to us. It seems like it's our move next, because God will never, ever be in debt. Can I tell you, God has taken many, many moves towards Roger and Myrna in these 20 years. As we kept stepping out by faith, God just keeps pouring out His grace. And as we step out, He pours out more grace. And as we come into faith promise giving or grace giving, and God, I don't know how we're going to do this, but we sure want to be involved, but this is what we're going to do. And it seems like God says, okay, it's our move next. Let's add a church that supports us, take on a new support, or it just seems like it's our move next, guys. And that's what I see here. So you got to follow that, because we got to touch on it here. I got to keep moving. Hannah's painful condition, Hannah's prayer for a child, Hannah's promise of commitment. Number four, Hannah's petition of the child granted. Look with me down at 17 and 18, verse 17 and 18. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Hannah's speaking back now, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord answered her petition. The Lord said, all right, it's our move. She did her part. She's willing to do her part. Now it's our part. Hannah's petition of the child granted. Can I tell you, I'll just read this one. Matthew 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do that this which is done to the fig tree, but also if thou shalt say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now Eli, the high priest here in Hannah's life, but can I tell you what I just read is our high priest in heaven. And if Eli, which is kind of out of sorts right now, was able to give fulfillment through the Lord and grant this petition, how much more would our high priest in heaven take care of you and I? One that will never misunderstand our needs. One that will never misunderstand our prayer life. One that will never ever misunderstand thinking that we are praying out of tune or out of character as Eli thought. Can I tell you, we have a high priest that knows all about us, knows everything about us, cares for us, is not only willing but able to answer our prayers. Amen? And so we see here, so we have this petition being granted here, the promise of the child granted. Eli, as the high priest, granted the request. Hannah trusted that her request had been answered and goes in peace. So there's a personal involvement as well. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. We understand that's how children come. Don't need to say much more about that. But it was the Lord that performed the miracle. Can I tell you, folks, it's the same thing. I'm saying that when we pray, we still need to do our part, but we're trusting God is going to do his part. Because as grace moves toward us, and we move toward that grace, grace will always continue to move toward us. But we can't just come up and say, okay, God, I prayed about it, and if we're sticking with grace promise or grace giving here, God, I'm asking to do this part, but we can't just walk away at that. We've got to realize that, yes, our prayers and move upon as if it depended upon us or our prayer life, but it does totally depend on the Lord, if that makes sense to us. So here we see that, yes, Hannah had prayed. Yes, Eli had given this petition as far as granting. We see that Hannah responded and she went in peace, but also that we knew that Elkanah and Hannah performed or did their part, realizing that it was God that had to do the miracle because it's the Lord had shut up her womb. The same thing with you and I. When we give our prayers and our petitions before the Lord, yes, we need to do our part, but we've got to realize, trusting the Lord, that everything that we have comes of Him. Sometimes, folks, it may be just a priority. I was telling a pastor recently, and it was kind of off thing, but I was telling him about some things here, and I said, you know, it's never been a money issue. He said, what do you mean, Brother Napper? And I said, look at your parking lot. There's some pretty nice cars out there. It's never, folks, I'm telling you, it's never, ever a money issue. It's always a heart issue. Always. I don't care what it is. We just went through a parking lot, needed a parking lot. It was all mud. It was always during the winter time and the ice and everything. And we had a stewardship a Sunday to raise $40,000. Our pastor was mentioning some things before this Sunday service. And I told him after church, I said, Pastor, I said, you missed an opportunity. And I'm a little more bold than he is, but he said, what are you talking about? And I said, Pastor, I said, as you were laying out the needs there and all of this for the parking lot, I was thinking, I thought of 16 families in our church at that service that could have gave $1,000, I think even 20 of them, 20 people. But I said, I counted at least 16, I think it was 20. I said, half of it should have been in. And he said, can you talk to the folks here? And I said, sure, I'd be. So we had a stewardship Sunday, and I presented everything. And I said, folks, honestly, that parking lot is not just out there to have a parking lot. That's a tool. Our school is a tool. Signs, all these things are all for the Lord. This is the Lord's work. The Lord will finance it, but it's a matter of the heart. Now, the finances came in fine. I think we're just a few thousand dollars short, but I'm just saying, folks, it is never a money issue. It's always a heart issue. It's always, do we trust the Lord? God can provide means any time and any way he wants. I'm on the staff, and I teach a lot of the new missionaries coming in, the Rock of Ages, and I tell them, you know, you got to look at deputation as a ministry. It's never about money. If you go in it looking at it for money, you'll never get support. It's not about money. It's about ministry. Pastors need to be encouraged. People need to be fed. You need to come in there and encourage them and feed them and take them someplace with your messages. To have a burden on your heart and leave that burden there and let somebody pick it up. Folks, that's exactly what it is here. There's a need here in missions. People need the Lord. More missionaries need to be out. More church planters need to be sent forth. There needs to be. I could take your roads through Pennsylvania, a little town and a little village after little village, without a gospel witness anywhere. There's people that need the Lord in there. We need more missionaries sent out, more church planters sent out, more people. How are we going to do that? We've got to trust the Lord. And so we see here, so Hannah trusted the Lord here. And she promised that, God, if you'll give me this child, if you will, I will. Number five, and let me move on here. Hannah's presentation of the child. Hannah's presentation of the child, 20 and 22. I'm not going to read all of these for the sake of time, but let me read this portion of it, verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, that Hannah had conceived, and that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel. That's the exact purpose that God had. God needed somebody. The priesthood was in bad condition. The nation was in bad condition. And can I tell you, Samuel was the answer. So we see here God's purpose coming through. Because I have asked him of the Lord, and the man Elkanah and all his house went to offer unto the Lord yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she had said to her, unto her husband, I will not go until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. So we see here Hannah's presentation of the child. But follow me now. Hannah had to face her commitment. You ladies would understand this more than us men here, but this is no longer a promise, but a living baby boy. I believe, and I can't be dogmatic on this, but I believe that Hannah wanted to wait. And in these days, biblical times, it was probably 4, 5, maybe even 6 years old when Samuel was given to the Lord. It was a child, the word used child there. But I think it would have been hard for Hannah to take the little one there and then come back and get accustomed to bringing the child back, maybe get attached to that commitment, maybe get attached to that gift that she'd promised to the Lord. This way, she had a plan. She had a purpose in mind. She knew what she was going to do, and she carried it out. So my point is, we need to be careful when God does provide your faith promise or this grace giving here, that you don't spend it on yourself. Too many people do. God provides, but a need comes up, or whatever comes up, and instead of giving it to the Lord and trusting the Lord to meet that need, they keep it to themselves. I'd like to spend some time here, but I'm not going to. You can go back and read, because there's a perfect example in the book of Haggai and also in the first chapter of Ezra. The Lord had already provided, I'll just give it to you, I'm going to run out, but the Lord had already provided for the house of the Lord to be built there, but because of circumstances and difficulties, they turned and started building their own houses. And the Lord comes to them through the preachers here and says, "Is it time for you to build your house?" Oh, but you don't know, Lord, how difficult it is, paraphrasing. You don't know how opposition we've had, all of this. So we just thought, and God tells them there in Haggai, he says, now it's time for you to consider your ways, but it's also time for you to get to work. But then he makes a little statement in there, and he says, you go to the mountain and get the wood. You see, God had provided, here's my point, God had provided all that they needed to get the job done, but because they wasted it on themselves, now the job was still going to get done, but now there's labor involved, now you go get your own wood. God does that today for you and I. God provides for us to give to fulfill our commitment, but when we have a need, or whether it's legit or not, or we think we do, and we give it, or we waste it on ourselves, that God still requires that of our hand. Now, it still may come out, but now you've got a broken washing machine. Now you've got broken cars. Now you've got broken appliance. Now you've got this and this and this to fix. Now God is saying, now go get your own wood. I provided for it one time. I was willing to take care of all of this, but since you wasted it on yourself, the job is still needs to get done, but now there's going to be some extra labor involved on our part. Can I tell you, folks, I've trusted the Lord, and I've seen Him provide where we actually have needs just like everybody else. But Myrna about shocked, I guess, when we said I was one of those, and I said, and we'll be one of the first ones. We'll give our $1,000. Myrna's going, really? Where'd you get that, big boy? Now, she didn't say that. Her look did. I've been married 45 years, and I know that look, where it came from. Where are you going to get that, big boy? But can I tell you, we had two services right after that, two churches that we've been to before. The one, when we were leaving, in fact, we had to leave that one to get to the other one. And so we went to the one church service. Can I tell you, their offering doubled than they ever did before. Can I tell you, we got to the other one, and that offering was $600. That one was double. We've never received that before. And somebody gave me a $100 bill on my way out. Can I tell you what the first one was and what the other one was? Can I tell you they all added up to $1,000 in one day? Now, it would have been real easy for us to keep that $1,000 because we got bills and everything else, probably more so than anybody else. Can I tell you the road is very, very, very expensive, especially up in New York. You'll have $500 or $600 hotel bills because we don't know. I'm just trying to say, when you and I take it upon ourselves, then it gets difficult. If we would just trust the Lord, I promise you, He'll never, when you step towards grace, grace will always make the last move as well. And so just like that, Myrna was able to write the check, and our obligation, our commitment was taken care of. Why? Because the Lord supernaturally does what He does. I can tell you on and on. Folks, I'm telling you, we can trust the Lord. This is His labor. It's His field. He will provide the finance, but He wants to prove it through you. He wants to test you. How much do you love the Lord? How much are you willing? Hannah's presentation. Keep your commitment to the Lord. Hannah had a plan. Hannah knew this was time. This time would come. And so we see in verse 22 that she kept her commitment. Two more and I'm done here. Hannah's pattern continues. We didn't get into chapter 2, but chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says this, moreover, his mother made a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Can I just make a few statements here? So when you and I get involved in fulfilling your promise to the Lord, can I put it this way? 1 year is not enough. Your faith will grow year by year. Hannah, listen to me, Hannah never gave Samuel a second time. She only gave Samuel that one time to the Lord. But Hannah did not want this grace, if we can put it this way, this grace giving to the Lord to end. Hannah would experience this goodness of God, and I'll show it to you in a second, year by year. It wasn't like, okay, here's Samuel, Lord, and that's the end of it. No, here's Samuel, Lord. Now that part is, but Lord, I want to continue on and watch this because Hannah saw, even through the young Samuel, Hannah saw that Samuel was used mightily of the Lord. Can I tell you, folks, get a hold of your gift. See what it does. Look at the testimonies. Read your prayer letters. Your gift grows continually. Souls are being saved. At one time, I kept records of how many inmates led other inmates to the Lord. I think it was back in 2012 or 13, somewhere in there. It was 430, 440, something like that. So your gift to Roger and I went to that inmate, led that one to the Lord. He led that one to the Lord. I don't know how many they led to the Lord. I don't know how many families are led to the Lord. We'll only get to heaven before we find out the end results of all of that. But I'm telling you, your gift does not stop. Just because you send it to Roger Napper, well, that's the end of that. No, I've still got another prison to go. I've got another new prison to get involved with. Can I tell you quickly, we just left New Hampshire. And now, that's even further north than Pennsylvania, if you don't know your geography. That's a lot colder up there. And we're getting in public schools, and they all said up there, you're not up here, you won't. Can I tell you, they met with the commissioner of education that Wednesday, and that commissioner is a born-again believer that sees the need of character in the public schools and gave us three superintendents to start next year going to a public school and telling them about character found out of the Word of God. That's your faith promise. That's your gift that continues to go on and on and on and on. Can I tell you, we need to reach this generation or this people, or we're in trouble. And God has a way. So God has a plan. God has a purpose. And he's going to fulfill that through you and I. And so we see the same thing here. Hannah never gave Samuel a second time, but Hannah's gift continued to go year by year. I believe that Hannah saw the workings of Samuel and the plan of God and rejoiced in her part of God's plan. God, I see what Sam is doing, and God, you're the one that gave him to me to begin with, just like David realized the same thing. And now, God, I'm giving him back to you. Boy, look at God, how you're using him. And God, I'm going to come year by year. I'm going to continue to be faithful to you and to continue to believe that you are working here. So we see Hannah's pattern continues. And then this one here, Hannah's present, consecrated to God. Hannah was rewarded by more blessings. Hannah was moved by God to ask for a man-child, specifically. God gave her the request. Hannah gave him back to the Lord. Now, like I said, that was the end of the story. Now here's the other part. Now it was God's move once again. So we see in 1 Samuel 2:21, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So we see Hannah's gift. Samuel lifted a nation out of darkness. It was Samuel the one that turned this darkness, this priesthood of Hophni and Phinehas and all the wickedness. Of course, that family died once Samuel was on the scene. Now God comes and brings that judgment there. Samuel was the one that raised this nation back to its place. It was the fulfilled, full accomplishment of the priesthood of Christ. I understand that, but I'll just read these two verses and we're done. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that thou shalt come upon thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die both of them. They corrupted everything together. They're going to die together. And I will raise me up a faithful priest. Now I understand who that's talking from Zadok to Eleazar and all that. Do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before me, before mine anointed forever. Now understand that's being fulfilled, but my point of saying that is it was Samuel that began this whole process. It was Samuel. So here's my point, and I'm done. When you and I give our gift to the Lord, we can never realize how small it may be as seen, but how great potentials it could be. When Dennis and Chong, his wife, invited Myrna and I to church, they had no idea what God had in mind. None of us did. I was a drug addict right off the street. Never heard of John 3:16 in my life. But God had a purpose, and God had a plan, and used a small invitation, a small gift, but when they gave it to the Lord, God did some great things. The same principles found here in Hannah. Hannah couldn't have Samuel, couldn't have a child, but God needed a child. to raise a nation out of darkness. So God puts it upon her heart to pray specifically for man-child. She didn't say, just give me anything. She said, I want a man-child that I'm going to give to you. So God's grace comes down, answers that, fulfills that. Hannah gives it back, gives Samuel to the Lord. The Lord uses Samuel to do great things. My point being, church, you'll never know what your gift can be used for. You just never know. Well, Brother Napper, I can't do much. Do what you can. But make sure next year you trust him, you do a little more and a little more and a little more. And by the way, by then you'll be wanting to anyway, because it's exciting to see how God does it. I'm always thrilled to see how God shows up. We say we're amazed. We shouldn't be amazed, but it's just amazing to see how he does it. But he always does it. Let's pray. Our Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for your